going to sing one more song before Pastor Chip's message. Oh, how great are you, Lord. We lift our voices in praise. Oh, we thank you.
You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. Restore and every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
You give life.
You are love. You bring life to the darkness. You give hope.
Great are you, Lord. Oh, great are you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Great are you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you. Oh, we praise your name. Oh, we thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Feel the presence of the Holy Spirit moving. We're going to turn it over, and I want you to welcome Pastor Chip. But the Holy Spirit is still moving. It's going to be in the Word, but the Holy Spirit is still answering some prayers and touching some of you people right now. Receive that which the Lord has for you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
There is no, not one like unto you, Father. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Our heart will sing, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What an awesome God you are. None like unto you, Father. Oh, Father. Man, when we think about where we were and where we've come from to where you brought us, great are you, Lord. Father, if that weren't enough, you said, I ain't done with you yet. I'm going to take you even higher. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. It takes a great God to do something with a wretch like me. But, Father, you did. And so I sing praises to you. Oh, I was a filthy wretch, lost without you. And then there was Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for what he did for us. Thank you for the example that he was for us, Father. Thank you, Father, that while I was yet your enemy, you chose me. And you sent your son to die for me. Great are you, Lord? Great are you, Lord? Great are you, Lord? Forgive me, Father, when I don't sing and shout that all the time. Oh, Father, there is none like unto you. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for the healings that have taken place already this morning. Thank you for the answers that came this morning. Oh, Father, as we exercised our faith, I know, Father, that you came and you met needs. Because you tell us in your word, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And now, Father, we just put this rest of this service in your hands. Father, open our ears. Open our minds. Open our hearts. And Father, as your word goes out this morning, let it change us, Father. Oh, Father, forgive me when I think I got it. Forgive me, Father, when I think I understand it. Just about the time I think I understand it all, Father, you show me just how little I know. And so, Father, thank you that you never give up on me. Your grace is new to me every day. You reveal new things to us every day. Oh, Father, you are great. So, Father, you lead today, and we'll be careful to follow. And when we're all done, we're going to say, man, it was good to be in the house of the Lord again today. Can't think of a better place to be than here. And I feel sorry for everybody that wasn't. So next week, I think I'll invite a few people to come so that they can pick up on this goodness too. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. And all the people said, amen, amen, amen and amen. Okay, I got to get cleaned up here before we start. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Huh? Man, there is none like unto our God, right?
Amen.
So listen, I got to apologize to you guys. Okay? A couple of weeks ago, we started on a message, and it was about honor. And then we went from honor into godly sorrow. Then we went from godly sorrow and how godly sorrow leads to repentance and repentance leads to salvation. That is without regret. Okay? We learned about all those things. And last week, we got into faith. And some of you said, Pastor Chip, don't preach like that again. I got convicted. Okay? It's a good message. Wasn't my message. It's just out of his word. Okay? So I got praying. I said, okay, Lord, where are we going to next? Did you ever get that way? Okay, Lord, I got that one. I'm ready to go on to the next one. Nobody else like me? Oh, I guess maybe somebody's allowed. Okay, Stephen's got his hand up. And he says, okay, you want to go on to the next one, but you don't have this one down yet. I said, Lord, no, I did a good job. I studied hard. I read, I prepared, and I gave the message. He said, good. Then say unto this mountain, move. He said, I'll read the scripture. He said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, move. And what will happen? It'll move. So, Chip, you tell me you got faith down, say unto this mountain, move. Uh-oh. I got a problem. I guess, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to go back and I want you to speak on faith again. Okay, Lord, I will. Show me what you want me to talk about. So here's what I have for you today, okay? And I want you to see how this all ties together. And I think Smiley has my slides back there for me someplace. Maybe. There we go. Faith. What's the second word?
Works.
And faith works. Goes into fruit. Okay? We need to have faith. The faith needs to be shown in us, and what's shown through our spiritual works, and those spiritual works are supposed to produce fruit. Okay? Now, I just want to talk to you for a minute, okay? So I was praying about this, faith, works, and fruit. There is a mindset that has taken over this country. And that mindset is this. Skip's a mechanic. If your car's broken, you take your car to Skip. And you pay Skip, and he fixes your car. And even if I don't have money, I take my car to Skip, and you know what he still does for me? Fixes my car. Because what is Skip? He's a mechanic. He's a good mechanic, and he fixes cars. Okay? So now what happens is the mindset sets in. So if you're a mechanic, you fix cars, or you fix this. So if you are a pastor, you know what my job is? My job is to shepherd the people, but a lot of people say, well, you get paid for this, so your job is to win all the people to Christ. Because we pay you to be the pastor. So that's your job, so guess who should be winning all the people to Christ? So Chip, you should come up with a message every Sunday, and you should give it every Sunday. And people should come in the door by osmosis, or maybe we should advertise in the paper more, okay? And when they come in, Chip, your job is to give a great message, and then your job is to let the Holy Spirit convict them, and then you and Bill as the pastors come up here, and maybe every once in a while Bill and Vern will participate as elders, and you lead the people to Christ, because that's your job. And a lot of people feel that that is the job of the pastor, or because Skip is the mechanic, if something's broken, you take the car to Skip. Praise God you don't bring it to me, because I got news for you. Bring it to me, it'll probably leave worse than it came in, okay? But with our walk with Christ, that's not the way it works. You know whose responsibility it is to lead people to Christ? Whose responsibility is it to lead people to Christ? Oh, it's all of ours. So if all of us are exercising our faith, and all of us are busy using that faith in our spiritual works, guess what automatically comes? It's not a trick question. It's there at the end. What is it?
Fruit.
Okay. How many of you want to be fruitful? Okay, so there's some things we got to see here today, okay? So let's go to the first one. And some of these are a repeat from last week, but some of them are new, and I needed to repeat some of these things, okay? And it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. What that says is, none of us are better than anybody else. I may be a pastor, that don't make me any better than you. Skip's a mechanic, that don't make him better than me. We're all the same. Amen. You get that? We're all the same. We all have sinned and come short of the
glory.
We're all lost without him. None of us are different. But guess what he did? Keep yourself humble. Don't think yourself something. What's next? But to think soberly. You know what that means? That doesn't mean not be drunk. But you know what that means? To get serious about something. I want you to get serious about something. Don't think yourself something, but I want you to get serious about something. And I want you to think hard, and I want you to ponder this one thing. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So I want you to understand inside of you is all the faith that you will ever need.
Amen.
I only got one amen. No matter what life throws at you, health, money, family, whatever it is, inside of you, God has already given you all the faith you need. Come on, you should get a better amen than that out of that one. I have all I need. All right, now we're getting someplace. All right? But now here he says, don't keep thinking yourself special, because guess what? John has all he needs. See, he sat in the back last week, so I wouldn't pick on him. He screwed up. See? But you know what? Kathy has all she needs.
Amen.
Judy has all she needs. Marvin has all he needs. Guess what? He didn't play favorites when it comes to measuring out faith. He gave each and every one of us all that we need. Amen. Come on. We got all we need from him. Okay? But now I want you to look at the next scripture. I get confused. What's Hebrews 11 say? But without what? Well, wait a minute, Pastor Chip. You just said God gave us all we need. He gave to everyone the same amount, everything that they need. But then he says, without faith. Okay, let me ask you a question. When the man came to Jesus and says, Jesus, what must I do to be born again? I can't crawl back up in my mother's womb. He said, you're first born of the water and then you're born of the Spirit. So how is your spirit before you come to Christ? Dead. So you got the spirit inside of you, but what kind of spirit is it? It's a dead spirit. So guess what? We got all the faith inside us we need, but it is dead until we activate it. You understand that? Okay, it would be like this. I come over here, and I'm going to pick on Skip again. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'm going to pick on Pat today. I give Pat the keys to my new car. There you go, Pat. There you go. He's got the car. Okay? You want them. You want. Everybody wants them. Pat says, thank you for them keys, and he puts it in his pocket, and he walks out there, and he gets on his bicycle and rides home. What good are the keys to that car unless he uses them? Does it do him any good? He walks around and says, look, I got these keys. I got the keys to pastor's car. Look here, pastor gave me the keys to his car. But if he never drives it, what joy is he going to get out of it? What use is he going to get out of it? Okay, so God gave each of us all the faith we need. And we're sitting there saying, oh man, I got it. But if I never use it, what good is it? None. And so just like me, before I give my heart and life to Christ, he's still smiling over there. He thinks he's going to get that car, okay? You could have the payment that goes with that too, okay? You want to give them back quickly? Okay, good. Huh? Oh, John was worried it wasn't full of gas. So without faith, before Christ, our spirit is dead. Before we start to use our faith, it is dead, even though we got all we need. Just like these keys going over to Pat, okay? John's trying to get up to move to the back. He's afraid I'm going to pick on him again. Go to the next slide, please. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's pretty simple, isn't it? We got to believe that God is really who he says he is. We gotta believe that God is who he really is. And who is he? Come on now, let's stop for a second. Who's God? Creator of all things. But he's also my heavenly Father. He's great. He has plans and purposes for me. He loves me. I have to believe that. I have to exercise my faith. Because how many of us have ever seen God? But how many of us have ever experienced God? Huh? You cannot tell me God is not real. I experience him through his Holy Spirit all the time. My grandfather had a song. It was his favorite one. It was In the Garden. Okay? And he used to always have this joke. And he used to come to me and say, grandson, you know God's got a first name. Huh? God don't got no first name. God's name is God. God is I am who I am. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. No, grandson. God's got a first name. He does? Yeah. It's called Andy. Andy God? Yeah. Yeah, I know that because I sing it all the time. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. So you see, grandson, God's got a first name. It's Andy. Okay, but that song, Andy walks with me. We have to believe that. And he talks with me. And the joy we share as we're together. Oh, my. And the world will say, hey, prove to me there is a God. I don't need to prove to you there's a God, because he gave me faith to believe those things which aren't. And I can call them as though they are. I believe in God, and that he is. And that he is a what? Rewarder. Oh, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, how do I have to seek after him? Diligently. Oh, diligently. That means I got to give him at least 5 minutes every week, right? That's diligently seeking him, right? Every minute. All the time. What are we supposed to do when the sun comes up? And what are we supposed to be doing when the sun goes down? And then we'd be diligently seeking him. Hey, go to the next slide for me, please. But what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Now, works are not good deeds. We went over this last week. Good deeds are fleshly. Okay? If I was to give Glenn a $20 bill because he needed it, it would last for a moment. He'd spend it and it would be gone. Huh? Now, John says, why didn't you pick on me for that one? He wished he could have got the 20 bucks. Okay? Works are those things which are eternal, which last forever. Works are those things when we sow the word of God into somebody's life. Right? So when I see Stephen and he's having a bad day and I say, dude, what's up? And he says, hey, here's what's happening. And I quote him some scripture. What am I doing? I'm doing spiritual works, because I believe in God and I believe that the word of God will not return void. And if I feed life into him, guess what's going to get him out of him? Life. But if I don't do anything, then I don't believe in God. Because I see Stephen and he's walking around over here like this. And I say, hey, brother, oh, man, I feel bad for you. I've had some of them days, too. Can we feel sorry for each other together? Because right now I'm going through some bad things, too. No. We can't do that. What we got to do is be able to go over to Stephen and say, listen, I believe in God and I believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I believe the word of God. I know who he is and I know his word is true. So what I'm going to do for you is what others have done for me. I'm going to speak life into you. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. I'm going to give you some life. Let me show you what the scriptures say about what we're going through. Now, can you get a hold of that? Yes. Can I get an amen from you on that? And then when we leave, we're not the same way. Because I'm exercising my faith. And as I'm exercising my faith, guess what's coming alive inside of me? The faith. But if I don't believe in God and I don't believe he's a rewarder and I don't believe who he is and that he isn't who he says he is, then I see him and I say, oh boy, that poor guy, he's got problems. And I walk away. Go to the next slide, please. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, but you do not give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So right now, we all know somebody that needs something, correct? Everybody's always in need of something. And Jesus says, the poor you'll always have, the poor and the sick you'll always have with you. Okay? So we can never run out of doing good deeds, doing good things for people. And I hate those commercials that come on with the dogs that are trying to get you to give money. As soon as that comes on, I either turn the TV off or I change the channel. Okay, honey, get the checkbook out. We got to send some more money. There's still dogs in need. See? It is our nature to want to help people when we see them in need. All right? So that's what he says. If you see that and you have this world's goods and you don't have help them, then how can the love of Christ dwell in you? Okay? But what he's talking about is helping them in their time of need. Okay? Thus, he says, also, if I see a person who has a spiritual need and I don't stop to spend time with them, then I got a problem. You know what the problem is, at least for me? I'm always quick for the good deeds. The spiritual stuff, I'm still working on. I'm being honest. Every time I go to work, you know what I see around me? I see all kind of people who have spiritual needs. You know what I should be spending my whole day on at work? Praying and giving the word of God and exercising my faith. Because he said, if you can exercise that faith and believe in me the way that you say you can, and you can get that thing to grow that big by exercising it, then, Chip, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it'll be gone. But until we get good at exercising our faith, we got a problem. Go to the next one. But someone will say, I have faith, or you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So just like with Stephen over here, I go to Stephen, I see he has a spiritual need, and I go to work. You can see my faith because I believe in God, and I believe that God is going to take care of Stephen. You understand? And if I didn't have that faith, I wouldn't be over there sharing with them the word of God, because I'd say, well, God didn't work in my life, so he ain't going to work in Stephen's. Now, did you catch that? I want you to let that sink in a little bit. If God has done something in your life, do you believe he can do it in somebody else's? Has God done a mighty work in your life? Oh my golly. Then we should be shouting it from the rooftops. And when we see somebody hurting and in need of spiritual works, we should be Johnny on the spot singing and saying what an awesome God he is. Man, when we were singing that song, great is our God. Great is our God. You know what we should be telling everybody we run into? Great is our God. Great is our God. Hey, I see you're having a bad day. I got the answer for you. Great is our God. Okay. But if I don't have those works and I say I have faith, guess what he says in the next slide? If you believe that there is one God, you do well. That's a good thing. Believe there's only one God. But even the demons believe, and they tremble. How many good works do the demons do, though? So let me ask you a question. If the demons aren't doing any good works, and we're not doing any good works, are we any better than the demons? So we got to start to exercise this faith so that we can show that we believe. Next slide. But do you want to know, oh foolish man? Here's where we're foolish. I'm the fool, not you guys. You guys all got this. I'm a fool. That faith without works is
dead.
So Chip, tell that mountain to move. Chip, tell that mountain to move. You got the faith, tell the mountain to move. Oh, Father, forgive me. Help me. I need to understand more. I don't want to have dead faith. I don't want to have a dead fish laying there. When I finally die and I come before you, I want to have a live faith. I want to be able to say to that mountain, move. Go to the next slide for me, please. Now, I want you to see something. This is a word of caution, and I'm sorry. This one stung me, and it hurt me, and it may hurt you. But guess what? I'm not sorry if it changes you like it did me. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree. Now, that fig tree is you and I. Okay? I'm going to explain this parable to you right now. This certain man had a fig tree. That's you and I. When we give our heart and life to Christ, we get planted in God's garden. And you know what he's looking for? Fruit. And he had this fig tree planted in his garden. And he came and he sought fruit thereon. And he found a lot. Uh-oh. He found none. We should be paying attention here. And he found no fruit. So guess what he told the guy to do? Then he said unto his vine, or the dresser of his vineyard, behold, for 3 years I've been patient with this tree for a long time that's been planted in my garden. For 3 years I've been coming to this tree looking for fruit. But he says, go backwards a little bit. I went too fast quickly. Thank you. 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I have found none. So what's he say? This is God speaking to us and he's saying, hey, you don't bear fruit, guess what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to cut it down. He says, why cumbereth the earth with it? Cumbereth the ground. You know what that means? Why burden the ground? Why let it just sit in there and take up space? Wait a minute. You ain't getting this here. Listen. Why let Sherry continue to sit in here and take up space in his congregation when I could get somebody in here that does something good and produces fruit? Cut her down. And then along comes Jesus. And you know what Jesus says? Jesus says back unto God, here you go, turn to the next one. And he answered, saying unto him, Lord, let it alone this year till I shall dig about it and do what to it? You know what dung is? Anybody know what dung is? Crap. You got it. It's crap. Dung is crap. So what he says is, let it alone until I dig about it. So here we are. We got our life, man, and we got our roots going down, and we're firmly entrenched in something, and we think we're doing something good, and here comes Jesus. You know what? I got to get you to move because you aren't exercising your faith and you aren't producing fruit. So I'm going to start uprooting you from your life. I'm going to start causing things to happen in your life you ain't going to like. You think that tree likes it when it starts digging around its roots? If we aren't producing fruit, Jesus is going to come with his Holy Spirit and start digging around the roots of our life. And then after he gets our life all exposed, you know what he's going to do? He's going to throw a bunch of crap at it. Come on. Are you getting this? He does not want us to get cut down. So he is going to cause things to happen in our life to cause us to exercise our faith. He's going to throw some crap at us. He's going to throw something at Marvin. He's going to throw something at Chip. Because he's saying, you got it, but you got to go farther. I need you to exercise your faith. And the crap comes. And when the crap comes, what do? Oh, God, help me. Oh, Father, help me. And what do? We start exercising our faith. But are we talking to anybody else about what they need? You know, we know how to pray for ourselves all the time. You know that. We're great at that. We're great at telling God our needs. Boy, I'm going to exercise my faith, Pastor Chip, and I'm going to go up there and tell God all my needs. And I'm going to believe that he's going to provide for me, and I believe he's going to take care of it. Yes, that's part of faith. But the other part of faith is not being ashamed of who we are in Christ. Understand that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And our reward is our fruit. Without our fruit, we don't have a reward. Does that make sense to you? And he loves us enough to rip us up from where we're planted in our life and throw a bunch of crap at us to help us change. And then if we still don't change, then guess what happens? Go to the next one. He said, and if it bear fruit, then it is well. If not, then after that, cut it down. I know it got real quiet in here. I didn't like this when I read it either. Okay? So go to the next one. And when they were come to him, come to the multitude, there came him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. For he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I have brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And what's Jesus saying? Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Go to the next one. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Okay? Now listen, go to the next part though, because this is the one that struck me down. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why couldn't we do that? Man, we've done all kind of things in your name. We've laid hands on the sick, other sick, and they were healed. We preached and people have been saved. We've done all these things. Why couldn't we get this one? Go to the next one. And Jesus says, because of your
unbelief.
You know what we always got to be dealing with?
Unbelief.
That unbelief, that's like the emergency brake. You pull that and your move of God is done in your life. Now watch what happens here though. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence yonder, and it shall be
removed.
Go to the next one. And what shall be impossible?
Nothing.
Come on. What shall be impossible?
Nothing.
So God has given us all the faith that we need that nothing will be impossible unto us. Now, if we're exercising our faith, guess what? Nothing will be impossible unto us. Okay? Go to the next one, please. Howbeit, this kind goeth out by prayer and oh boy. And then the Spirit speaks to me and says, hey, Chip, what's that last one? Come on, what's the last one?
Fasting.
I know nobody likes that word and nobody wants to say it, but what's it say?
Fasting.
Fasting. That doesn't mean you go fast. That's not referring to speed. And then the Spirit spoke to me and said, when was the last time you fasted? Oh, Lord, what a sinner I am. Help me. Help me. And then he brought to remembrance a trip that I made to the Dominican. And my wife and I have some widows down there we support. And when she went down there, she said, these ones remind me of me and my girlfriend, so we're going to take care of these ones. They look like me and Kathy and Rachel and this one and that one, so we're going to take care of these ones. Okay, good. So every time I would go down there, they would say, oh, come see, come see. And when I would get there, I would ride the four-wheeler through town, and they'd say, the long hair is here. So all the widows would be expecting me to come with Karen, you know. And I get to the one widow's house, and I love her. Man, she can pray and she can bring the heavens down when she prays. And as soon as I walked in, she's yelling at me, glory a Dios, glory a Dios, glory a Dios, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. And I'm looking and I don't know what's going on. I don't understand Spanish. And all of a sudden, you know what's going on? She's waving this paper. It's big yellow thing with envelope. That is glory, Elios, glory, Elios. And I said, Karen, interpret for me, please. And she starts to interpret, and she said, oh, Chip, her daughter has brain cancer. And in the Dominican, their health system is not quite like ours. And the only way to operate was to take her to the capital. And she said, even in the capital, operating on somebody's brain usually doesn't have a good outcome. And then she shakes the paper and she says, glory, Elios. Glory, Elios. And now I'm sitting there crying like I am now. And I said, hey, tell me what she did next. And she said she knew there was no hope for her daughter unless God intervened. And she got down on this kitchen floor and did not leave. And she prayed and she fasted for 30 days. What was she exercising? She believed that God was a rewarder of those who diligently seeked her. She believed and she knew that God honored the prayer and the fasting, and we have to go diligently after him and believe that he can do it. And she said, my daughter went in and they took another x-ray before they went to do surgery. And she said, here is the x-ray of my daughter's brain. She is now cancer free. Glory, Elios! And I had to say, Lord, forgive me. I don't know. I've never been on the kitchen floor. And their kitchen floor is not like my kitchen floor. 30 days and 30 nights, she got down on her face and cried out before God. And she exercised her faith. And she said, mountain, you be removed. And guess what happened? It moved. Here's the way it is for us. We want to put 10 cents worth of effort into a $100 reward. I give that to you again. We want to put 10 cents worth of effort into a $100 reward. It is true that we reap what we sow. So we sow our faith sparingly. Guess what we reap sparingly? The answers. Okay? Go to the next one, please. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. So if we're dead with him, what are we dead to? We're dead to sin and we're dead to this world. And we're no longer worried about what we can get from this world, but what change we can make in this world. We're not looking for the world to provide for us anymore. We know that God is already going to provide for us because he's given us that faith. We're exercising that faith. And now we're looking for others that we can share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with. So if we're dead with him, guess what? We're also going to come alive with him. If we come alive with him, we better come alive in him. Okay? The next one. It says this. Yeah, there we go. I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. For if we have joy and rejoicing, if we suffer, we also shall. If we deny him. Oh, Chip, I'd never deny him. We do. When I'm going by and I see Bobby's got a need, a spiritual need, an encouragement, something that he needs. If I don't stop and pray, if I don't stop and do something, then what I'm really doing is denying him. And I'm denying his power. And he said, so if you're going to deny me by not stepping out, not worrying about what the world says about you, but stepping out and saying, Bobby, I see you're hurting today. What's going on in your life? Oh man, I know God and I know he's just and I know he's able to take care of that. Can I pray for you? Can we get into the scriptures together? Can I give you the word? And I know that God can take care of you because he's taken care of me. Our God is a great God. Now, I'm not denying him. But listen, even if I do deny him, guess what the next one says? Okay? Turn to the next one. If we believe not or deny him, yet he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, to the subverting of the hearers. Now wait, listen, I want to stop right there. I don't know how many times I hear people arguing, well, is this what that scripture means? No, I think this is what that scripture means. And we get so caught up in arguing about the scriptures, you know how much work we're actually getting done? And you know what we do? We'll go home and work for hours going through the scriptures to prove our point. The point of the matter is we shouldn't even be talking about the word. We should be doing the word. And as we do the word, guess what? The word becomes clear to us. And we don't have to worry about who's right or wrong because we're going to be rejoicing in all the souls that are getting saved and all the things that are happening. Bill tells a story, and I'm going to tell it real quickly because I know I'm running out of time. Please hang in there with me, okay? Bill says as a young man, he went to a revival meeting or some kind of place, and there was two pastors there. And he went up to them and says, hey, what do I got to do to be saved? And the one started to explain to Bill what he needed to do to be saved. The other one said, no, that's not right. This is what he's got to do. And Bill's watching these two pastors arguing back and forth about what Bill's got to do to be saved. And pretty soon Bill says, I just walked away and they didn't even know I left. Bill said, only by the grace of God did he come back for round two. This time he waited till there was only a single pastor so they couldn't argue with one another. Next scripture. Here's what we have to do. We got to pray. We got to fast. We got to study to show thyself a what? Approved unto God. So we got to put the word of God into us so that when we see somebody with a spiritual need, that we have something inside of us that we can give them, and it's not what we have we're going to give them, it's what God has we're going to give them. So study to show thyself approved. A what? A workman. Well, if we're going to be workmen, what are workmen supposed to do? Work. That needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? Can I share something with you? Kathy, John, if you want to move towards the piano. This past week at the board meeting, we got a story about Becky. Becky was at a local shopping center, and as she was leaving, she heard some lady in the parking lot crying. What's going on? She went over to the lady, and she said, can I give you a hug? And the lady looked at her, and from what I was told about the story, the lady says, hey, lady, you know we're not the same color. And Becky said, that don't matter. I see you have a problem. Can I give you a hug? Correct? And then you gave her a hug. And then she said, Jesus loves you. And then the lady says, do you go to church someplace? Becky says, yeah, I go to church. I go to Pleasant Valley Church. And she started to talk to her about God. What was she doing? Spiritual works. So then here, us as pastors, Bill and I, in our great faith, we hear this story, and Becky comes to Bill, and she said, hey, I'd like to get some business cards from the church. And I'd like to be able to hand those out to the people as I'm telling others about this church and about God, and as I'm giving people hugs and explaining to them that God loves them and so do I, and operating in my spiritual gift and faith. So Bill and I, our faith is really strong. And Bill says, well, what do you need? About 10 of them. You need about 10 cards. He says, oh, heavens, no, I need 100. I need 100 cards to give out. She told me this morning she just went to the Dairy Queen, and at the Dairy Queen she hugged everybody on the outside of the Dairy Queen and everybody that worked inside the Dairy Queen, and then was telling them about God. What's she doing? Working. And guess what? She's going to produce fruit. Yep, tell them about the kids program, she says. You know what I'm happy about? I told everybody I could about the kids program as well. Yep, the guy at the drive-thru, he wanted a hug too. Jade's sitting right back there in the back. Okay, stand up, Jade. I don't have time to come get you. Did Jesus do something for you? What'd he do for you? He set you free from drugs, right? And ever since he's done that, you've been totally quiet about Jesus, right? You haven't said anything to anybody about him, right? You tell him everybody everywhere you go. She came in here one Sunday morning. I don't know if you remember, but she said, Pastor Chip, God told me if I get down here and you pray for me this morning, I will be delivered this morning. And she was delivered that very morning. And God has been at work in her life, and she hasn't been able to shut up about it ever since. Now, you talk about wanting to get the Jesus movement. I think her and Becky are trying to get it done all by themselves. Now, guys, I want to give you one challenge. Kathy gave you a challenge. You know what I had? I had two stories about ladies who were exercising their faith and working in the spiritual works. Kathy says we're going to take up collections for benevolence. Guys already know they're going to win. That's not a problem. But anyway, listen, that's not the important thing we need to be busy about. The important thing we need to be busy about is the spiritual works. And guys, these ladies are putting us to shame. It is time we start shouting it from the rooftop. So this week I invited about 10 people to church. As I got ready to speak this message, he said, you better not just speak it, you better start living it. And so I went to some people that I knew were struggling and I said, hey, Steve, you haven't been at church in a while. Where are you and your boys? I haven't seen them. Yep, not that Steve, another Steve at our work. And then I went to Herbie and I went to some other people. I said, look, I love you and I want to see God come alive in your life. You're doing better at the game of life, but you're losing all that God has for you. And I just had a chance to pray with them and speak with them. And man, I walked away from that. Woo, man, something just happened. Something happened. Something come alive. You know how long it would take to fill this place if we were all like Becky? If we were all like Jade? Couldn't shut up about him? Not long. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask John and Kathy to play a song and sing for us, and I'd like you to join. And this is going to be a total surprise for me. I have no idea what they're going to sing. And then when we're done, I got a challenge for you. Okay? Huh? Challenge for the congregation. Yes, so go ahead.
51 in our hymnals. And while you're looking it up, I just want to say it's really nice to be here. Don't take it for granted. The fellowship that we have with one another is really, really important. In the chorus, there's a part that says, none other has ever known. To me, there's millions of people in the world, billions of people. God made us all different. My experience and my life is totally different than anybody else's. But the Holy Spirit knows you. It knows me. And when we are in earnest, at the end it says, no other has ever known because there's no other like me. And he speaks to us personally. And I can vouch, when he touches you, you can run. You can try to hide. Huh? But don't. Because you can be changed from within. Okay, don't cry too much on this.
Got that joy. What the real question is today is, are we going to let our hearts be changed? Are we going to let our minds be changed and say, Lord, thank you for that joy. Now I see my neighbor, he needs that joy. I see this one in the parking lot, he needs that same joy. Even my enemy, Father, he needs that same joy. And how can he get it unless I open my mouth? Father, forgive us for not opening our mouths. And if you're like me, just raise your hand. I want to pray that God gives us boldness today. That he'll open up our minds and our hearts. Father, you see the hands raised. Father, I'm going to put both of my hands up. Father, forgive me when I've been silent. Forgive me, Father, when I've seen people in need of you, Father. And I don't go forward knowing, Father, that you are a doer of your word and you can set them free. Father, whether it just be a hug and a Jesus loves you, a scripture, a prayer, whatever it is, Father, light a fire down inside of us. Oh, Father, let us not just sing you're a great God, but let us go out and act like you are a great God and that nothing is impossible for you. And Father, what we want is a move of you. And that move of you comes through us. Father, if we don't move, you don't move. So Father, give us the boldness. Help us to understand, increase our faith, Father. And let us go forth, Father, and make a difference for you. And Father, this week, let us run into people that we can exercise our faith. And Father, we won't deny you. We won't be ashamed of you. But we'll boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. For I'm not ashamed of it. For it is the power of God unto salvation. So Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this message. Thank you for filling us with your boldness. Thank you for setting a fire in us. And thank you, Father, that you're not going to have to dig us up around the roots. You're not going to have to throw dung at us. That, Father, we're going to go out. And we're going to start to set this world on fire for you. And Father, there's a Jesus movement coming again. And Father, it's going to start right here, right now with us today. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing right now. Thank you for the people that we're going to change this week, not through us, but through you. Thank you that you make us workmen, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thank you for the boldness. Thank you for the fire. And thank you for the things that are going to happen at camp this week with names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, Father. Yes, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being patient with us. Now, Father, thank you for what you're about ready to do. And all the people said, amen. All right, you are dismissed.